Our Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign continues. With me on the telephone, we've got the writer and director of The Invisible War, Kirby Dick. Thanks for joining us.
Very happy to.
So this is an incredible film, and congratulations on your Academy Award nomination, by the way.
Well, thank you. We were very appreciative of that because, this is an issue that certainly before the film came out, very few people were aware of. And since the film came out, I think that is, the landscape has completely changed, but certainly the Academy Award nomination helped get this issue before the public.
It is a riveting issue, one that's actually been around for quite a long time. Obviously, the tailhook scandal back in the 70s was one of the things that really brought it to the forefront of the public here in this country. But much time has passed since then, and the issues continue. Why do you think that is?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is something that's been going on even before the 70s.
Of course.
It's been going on really ever since there have been women in the military, and before that, when there were men, when it was only men. This is one of the important statistics that I think I should point out is that actually, in terms of absolute numbers, more men are sexually assaulted in the military than women. So it's not just a women's issue. And this has been, there's been scandals that have popped up, like you mentioned the tailhook scandal in the early 90s. There was the Air Force Academy scandal around 2003. And each time this popped up, the military would always respond in the same way. They'd first of all go after the people who were reporting on this, the victims, really, and say that they were lying, they were making this up, they weren't good soldiers. Then they would say, it's just a few bad apples. They would say they've taken care of it, trust us, and then do everything they could to bury it. And that happened over and over and over again. And, as a result, you look at the numbers, last year, according to the military's own estimate, more than 26,000 men and women were sexually assaulted in the military. So, this approach of doing nothing, of trying to cover it up, has, just been the worst approach possible.
Now, the film really, brings a lot of this to light, all the various different aspects. I've had a chance, I think it was 7 years ago, I talked with Colonel Anne Wright, and she was very enlightening. I'm talking to her again this year as well. What do you hope this film will accomplish?
Well, it's actually already accomplished a great deal, which is we were actually kind of surprised. We thought that the military would react in the same way they've reacted in the past by actually coming after the film. But in fact, that hasn't happened. Several months after the film premiered at Sundance and only 2 days after former Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta saw the film, he initiated some very important changes. They were only first steps. And since then, the military has started to do a fair amount. We know that all members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff have seen it, and hundreds of generals within and flag officers within the Pentagon. Most branches are using the film itself as part of their sexual assault training programs. And so in that regard, the military is actually taking the issue very seriously in terms of the education side. Where they're really falling down is on the prosecution side, because most men in the military are not rapists. Most of these rapists are serial rapists who rape again and again. And what's happened is the military has not gotten a handle on how to investigate and prosecute these men and put them behind bars. And there's actually a bill now on the floor, Senator Gillibrand from New York, who actually credits the film with, bringing her attention to the issue and kind of inspiring her to act on it. This bill is the most significant reform to address this issue. And what this bill does is to take the decision to investigate and prosecute these crimes out of the chain of command, because that's been one of the core problems with the way the military justice system has been set up, is the commanders who are over the perpetrator and as well as the victim, and may have a direct or indirect relation, and certainly have an indirect relationship to them, are making these decisions. And these are, in most cases, commanders who don't understand the complexities of sexual assault issues and are very often making the wrong decision. So if you put it in the hand of professionals with, trained military prosecutors, trained investigators to make these decisions, it will dramatically increase the number of prosecutions and convictions of these serial predators.
Your point is well taken, especially recently there was a story that came out of someone in the military whose job it was to train other officers on the evils of sexual assault, basically was convicted or was caught of doing the same thing.
Yeah, no, this is true. I mean, this is, and you hear these stories over and over. I mean, particularly, when you're making the film. I mean, very, very often, a lot of these sexual assaults happen in training environments. And this is something I hope the military is finally beginning to realize. I mean, you've heard of the Lackland Air Force scandal. This was a training environment. These men and women were coming from boot camp, going directly into a training environment. They're coming out of a situation where they're trained to completely respect rank. They completely trust everyone in the Air Force, in this case, as their brother and sister. And then you have trainers, oftentimes with 20, 25 years experience and a great deal more rank, who can tell these new recruits, hey, you can meet me at my, you're ordered to meet me at my apartment at 11 p.m. and then set them up and assault them. And they do this again and again. I mean, we've seen this in the interviews we've conducted. We've conducted interviews with, hundreds of survivors who've been sexually assaulted in the military, and quite a few of them were assaulted in these training environments where they're very trusting, at the bottom of the totem pole in terms of rank, and they're taken advantage of by serial predators who assault with every new group of recruits that come in every 8 weeks or so. They oftentimes pick out one to assault in that situation.
It is horrific. Absolutely.
Yeah, again, though, I do want to clarify that it's a small number of men who are committing most of these assaults. I mean, this is true in the civilian world as well. Most rapes are committed by serial predators. Most men in the civilian world are not rapists. Most men in the military are not rapists. It's an issue that the military has to solve, the prosecution and conviction of these predators.
Since Chuck Hagel became head of the military, have you seen a change?
I think he sort of carried on the policies of the previous Secretary of Defense, mm-hmm. Leon Panetta. I think he's doing some important changes. He's on the wrong side of this issue of taking it out of the chain of command. That's a big mistake. I mean, what's happened is he's listened to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and all of them sort of in unison have said this, this is going to cause huge problems, when in fact it won't. It's been tried in other militaries, in the UK and Australia, and it's worked, very effectively. But the problem is that, it's this same sort of old boy, old school approach that hasn't worked for 50 years. I mean, the military has always said, trust us, we know the best way to do this, and they failed over and over and over again.
Do you see any movement towards this kind of prosecution, taking it out of their hands? Is there any progress at this point?
Well, there is, actually, and Senator Gillibrand, your program couldn't be timed more perfectly, because Senator Gillibrand will be bringing up this bill on the floor of the Senate sometime, I think, over the next couple of weeks. And I think there's going to be a very significant floor debate about this. And I know she has almost 50 senators who are co-sponsors of the film, co-sponsors of the bill. And I think she may need 60, because there may be some, filibuster activity here. But it's going to be a close vote. But I would say the majority of the Senate is supporting this. Whether we'll get to 60 votes or not, I do not know. But, this would be such an important first step, because when we are making this, this is actually more than a first step. This would be such a significant reform. When we were making this film, we could not get a senator to appear in this film. I mean, the Senate, people in Washington were so afraid to talk about this. And so the film has entirely changed the landscape, and Senator Gillibrand's taken this on, I think, very courageously and said, let's go out and make the one reform that we know will really go after these serial predators. And she's very close to getting it through the Senate.
I wish the best with that. Of course, Congress has had a hard time passing anything lately. So I guess if it can get past the Senate, I guess the next big hurdle, of course, would be the House.
Yes, no, and that is true. It's obviously one step at a time in Washington, but. Senator Gillibrand, it is a bipartisan bill. I mean, she has Senator Paul, Senator Rand Paul signed on, Senator Ted Cruz. So it's across the political spectrum. I think if it gets through the Senate, it may not get through the House this year, but it will. There's a strong contingent of people, I think, that will sort of lead the charge in the House. I think the American people, for the most part, understand that it makes sense not to have people who have a conflict of interest making the decision of whether to investigate and prosecute these criminals. It should be done the same way it's done in the civilian justice system, where there is somebody is not in the direct chain of command making these decisions. This is just our American way of justice, and there's no reason that men and women in the military, they deserve the same kind of justice that we as civilians have. I mean, they're fighting and sometimes dying. For us to have this form of justice, they deserve it as well.
Well, you think about it, it would never be allowed in the civilian world for that kind of a conflict of interest to go forward in the world of prosecution. It would be
no,
instantly
it would not.
Flagged.
And this is why it's really in many ways a no-brainer here. It's just, again, you have the old school people who have said, trust us, we know what's best. I mean, it really is time to change this. It's really time to bring down these numbers to protect our men and women in uniform.
So as the military is changing and women are now moving into combat positions, so they haven't in the past, are there detractors that are using this scandal to say, basically that women should not be moving into this role? Proof positive that this is going to exacerbate the problem.
There are a few, although less and less, fortunately. I think the military is very aware that, how valuable and necessary the female members of its force are. There's no way that we could be, whether or not you think we should be, there's no way we could be in the wars that we're in without, having women in our military. So, and then I think the other kind of side of the picture here is, it's not just women who are getting assaulted. Men, as I said, earlier, more men than women are sexually assaulted. This is not an issue only about men assaulting women. This is also an issue about men assaulting men. And in a few cases, there's women assaulting women and occasionally women assaulting men. It's rare, but it does happen. But it's not just, female victims. It's male victims as well.
So, as I said, an incredible film. What led you to take this issue on to make a documentary?
Well, when we became aware of the issue, I mean, we were astonished at how effectively the military had covered this up for so many years. We were, when we started doing our research and finding that, over the last, several generations, more than 500,000, maybe as many as 1 million men and women had been sexually assaulted in the military. And we realized that, we realized the power of documentary. I think documentaries have become more and more, played a more and more important role in the political and social debate in this country. And one of the things that documentaries can bring to an issue, they can not only lay out all the facts, which are important, but they can present the emotional stories of the, very patriotic men and women who joined the military, who wanted to serve their country, and then were assaulted. And then even then, they had, and these are these subjects in our film, and even after they were assaulted, they had enough faith in their military to go forward and to report these crimes and then to face a military who would actually turn on them and cover them up. I mean, that has to change. And we felt that by telling their stories and that having them tell it in their own voices, that would make an impact that in some ways no other medium could. And I think that's what happened. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons that the Senate became so motivated. That's one of the reasons that, the military itself, we had a retired four-star general come up to us and say, after seeing your film, I learned more about military sexual assault from watching your film than from 40 years of briefings. They, in some ways, they just did not understand what was going on, and I think the film communicated that to them.
Absolutely. Now, as I said, we touched on this subject about 7 years ago, and back then I had trouble finding women who would be willing to talk about it. I did, but as I said, it was a little hard. Before this film, I mean, you know, now this is out, but while you were making this film, did you have a hard time finding people to openly talk about it?
Oh, yeah. It was a real challenge. I mean, you know, we looked pretty very hard for more than a year and a half to find, and then in the end we did speak to, you know, as I said, hundreds of men and women, but it took a long time. I mean, many women and men blamed themselves. Many were fearful that perhaps their perpetrator would come after them. Many had experienced such a horrific experience reporting it in the military that because of that experience, didn't want to talk about it at all. But they, you know, everybody who participated in the film in the end said to us, look, I, you know, the reason I'm doing this is I don't want another man or woman in the military to get assaulted again. And if there's anything I can do to help prevent that, I want to be a part of that. So, yes, it did take a lot of work. But, I mean, you know, there are a lot of courageous men and women who made the film possible.
What kind of time period did you make this film over?
We made it over a 2-year period. We tend to make our films. I mean, we have this is my 10th film. I've got a very good, team behind me. And, we felt, you know, with 20,000 plus men and women being assaulted each year, it was very important to get that film out as soon as possible.
Absolutely. And it's got to be gratifying to see that the film actually seems to be having an impact on the military itself. Action is being taken.
It's very gratifying. I mean, again, this is not something we expected. We knew that it would be a very explosive film, but we did not think that we would get the even partially positive response that we've gotten from the military. And so we're very gratified by that, and very gratified that, you know, many of the leaders in Washington are really trying to do something about this issue.
Well, it's good to see that stuff is moving forward. Obviously, we have a ways to go yet, but we've made some great progress, and your film has definitely helped. And I know you're really busy today, so I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us during this campaign.
Very happy to. I just, I'd urge your listeners to contact their friends. I mean, you know, around the Senate debate. I mean, you know, both California senators are signed on to Gillibrand's bill. But if you know friends or family members, friends or family members, if you can get in contact with them who are in other states and have those people, you know, contact their senators, it's very important. It's going to come right down to the wire on this vote. So, you know, one senator's vote may make the difference. So please, you know, help out with this campaign. I would urge your listeners to.
And when is the vote expected to take place?
It's expected to take place before Thanksgiving, so in the next few weeks.
Oh, very, very soon. Very soon.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, Kirby Dick, again, thanks for taking the time to talk with us today. Very, very important issue.
Well, thank you. It was a real pleasure.